here we go, 11:07. I wasn't here on Friday. I wonder if the old wagon came by. There's the old wagon, Tom. That's right, the wagon is the thing that you and I get in every single day, and for 2 hours you spread manure. That's opinion and news. And then we head back to the barn. We got to get back. We have 1 hour to bring the wagon back. And there's a great big old horse by the name of Patrick that sits next to that sits next to you on the wagon. And I pull it along.
So I just assumed that you took the wagon with you to Palm Springs.
I did not. I didn't go to Palm Springs. I went to Tampa, and then I went to Sarasota, and I raised money for pediatric cancer research.
I just wanted to go to Palm Springs.
No, I didn't go to Palm Springs. Okay. You know, keep track of where I am, Tom. You try to follow up on me. Just worry about that wagon.
Did Dick Vitale have a role in
it? Yeah. Dickie Boy was there. Yeah. What an incredible memory that guy has. He brings these kids up on stage. You got like 15 kids. He brings them up on stage. This is Tommy. Tommy goes to school. He does this and that. He got cancer. And then he talks about the next kid, the next kid, the next kid. He calls them his heroes or courage kids. Just one kid had 2,100 doses of chemotherapy. 2,000 doses of chemotherapy. And it completely destroyed his hearing and this and that and this and that. He's just standing there. He's alive. But it's like, golly, you see these little kids battling cancer. It really is something. Talk about the fact that I got a chance to talk to Jim Harbaugh, coach of Michigan.
That's right.
Used to be a coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And he said something really interesting about whether or not college football players should be paid and how to pay them. We'll get to that. But first, there is a Tacoma educator. He is the assistant principal at Lincoln High School. And he's written a song that some people have a problem with. He went on with the Ron and Don show. And it brings up the headline for the Seattle Times is, "Can anyone make explicit art? A Tacoma educator raps Test the Limits." Here is the song, and then we'll come back after this.
This is from is it called Cancel Christmas?
Cancel Christmas
is the name of the rap song.
Coming in at number one.
Give me a reason just to load up a rifle. Put the fire alarm in the lobby of my high school. Leave the halls bloody like a high noon typhoon. I'm about to cancel Christmas. Yep. I won't leave a freaking written note. Nah.
All right, there you go. Okay. So he, some people are like, wow, so is that a vice principal? Is that an educator advocating for violence? He went on after this story broke. He was on with Ron and Don talking about it, and here's what he says.
The song does include a child that is shooting up a school. However, the song is based on the premise of the economic hardships that a lot of families face during the holiday season. And so in the crass capitalist consumer economy, there is a lot of pressure to meet the materialistic needs, you know, of that holiday. And that young man in that song was going through that. Not only that, his mom, you know, in the gesture of Christmas and the holiday spirit, his mom is having an affair with Santa. It's all playoff. I saw mommy, you know, kissing Santa. And then also he's having problems in his family. He's kind of like the outcast of the family. So we're talking about all the pressures that go into, you know, the emotional disposition of a young person who feels like they have to resort to violence to cope with the pain and the hurt.
Mm-hmm. He says he understands. That's great. Yeah, he understands why parents are upset.
Yeah,
I understand why they'll have a problem, too. That's why I'm bringing it to the forefront. I also have a problem with there not being enough resources and agencies and community partners that are actually addressing this problem. It's actually parents and people like that who are just complaining about music and people who are trying to bring the message to the forefront, like the Childish Gambinos and like the rapper Logical actually talks about, you know, suicide, and he gives resources. I have a problem with people who just want to pay, you know, point out things to sensationalize things, but they don't want to point out to all the different resources that are out here and the agencies that are out here and schools like Lincoln High School that are actually providing some type of services to meet the needs of those students.
Yeah, listen, he brings up issues that some people have in his art.
Yes.
And then you, from his position, he can then say, well, let's talk about these things.
Yeah.
I think that's terrific.
So you do. Okay, good. Yes. Logic Amen. I don't know if I'm certainly an acquaintance and maybe even a friend. I met him through the Ron and Don show, and he's a really impassioned and compassionate guy who really cares about education and students. And he's as an artistic bent, you can just hear by the intelligence of his explanation about why he was lyricing the way he was lyricing. I think the question then is, Is it because I don't think anyone would have too many problems with these lyrics if he was just a rap artist. He was like a Childish Gambino. It's the fact that he is a principal in a school, I think, that makes it a little dicey and raises the issue. Okay, so is this the kind of stuff? Is it in conflict? And in the Seattle Times article that profiles him on this, they say, because of this particular rap, students are now stopping him in the halls and talking about all this. That he sees it as a way to sort of open the lines of communication.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a shooting at a school and somebody, I mean, there are all sorts of these other ramifications. But I think he does, bring an intelligence to his art that's on the edge. I mean, it's meant to be kind of dicey, but it seems effective.
With all of that said, here it is one more time.
Give me a reason just to load up a rifle. Put the fire alarm in the lobby of my high school. Leave the halls bloody like a high noon typhoon. I'm about to cancel Christmas. Yep. I won't leave a freaking written note. Nah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a reason not to get to load up a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As it is, he hasn't had to change his art at all, and the school district is still standing behind him.
That's
and
right.
Everybody's okay with
it's a little the school district is a little uncomfortable with the subject matter. I can understand why people are upset, but at the same time, there is freedom of expression. He said he's talking to the art teacher there, a photographer. And what if she started painting nudes? During the summer, would that scene as somehow pornographic because she works in a school? You can't. There are artistic. There's artistic license.
But then isn't there also this sort of thing where certain jobs you carry with you even when you're not in the classroom, even when you're not in the cop car, even when you're not on the radio, that you have a public sort of position as well. You're like, for instance, that coach that got on all the trouble from Bremerton, right?
Yeah,
that
was praying Joe
at the
Kennedy.
Kennedy praying at the 50-yard line. It's like, look, you have a right to pray, but you see, you represent – you're a coach, so you're an employee of the high school.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it on their time. I'm doing it on my time. Doesn't matter. You still carry with you the respect that the kids are giving to you, and maybe they feel like they have to get on one knee and pray because you're praying because you can have effect upon whether or not they start or they sit out in a game.
Yeah. See, I think it was because it was at a game where players from all beliefs or non-beliefs were working together, and he was in the guise of a coach. If he was at his church, if he ran a Sunday school or a meeting and had a group of people that were through his church, I don't think that would be any problem. It's his role as the public school employee at the football games that got him into trouble. And and here's a case where the school is coming to this guy's defense because it didn't happen on school premises, as far as I know, my understanding at least.
Eric Reed will become the new Colin Kaepernick, Tom. That's what some people are saying. New guy to hate in the NFL was asked last season to clarify why he was protesting the national anthem and disrespecting the military. And here's what Reed says. By the way, he used to play for the 49ers.
Eric Reed. He used to play for the 49ers. Now he doesn't play for anybody.
Uh-oh.
If I need to say it every time, y'all ask me, this is not about the military. This is not about the flag. This is not about that. My mother served in the armed forces. Three of my uncles served in the armed forces. In fact, my mom would have went to the Persian Gulf War had she not been pregnant with me. I have the utmost respect for the military, the anthem, and the flag. So I would say that every time y'all interview me. This is about systemic oppression.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just poorly timed. That's the problem. People see you kneeling while the flag is out, and they see the flag, and they associate the flag with the American defense. And that's where the confusion comes in. But it's about American oppression, the oppression of black people, I assume, or people of color, or economically disadvantaged people, right? That's they're being oppressed.
Well, I mean, social injustice. I mean, there are all sorts of issues that they are protesting.
Yes.
But what's significant about it is he was the first player to join Kaepernick in his kneeling, and he knelt the entire season, unlike a lot of players who he kind of faded away, except for some like Michael Bennett. And what's interesting now is that because of that, he feels like this, the writer John Feinstein, who is a legendary sports writer here writing in the Washington Post, says that here we go again. The knock against Colin Kaepernick was, oh, no, we're not signing him for his politics. We just don't think he's that good. And he says, here's a case where it's much harder to make that. This guy's a superstar safety, and that, he would, would make just about any team that he was on better. Maybe the Seahawks don't need him because we've got Thomas. But the idea is that he's a really good player. He's 26, he's healthy, and he's unsigned. Why? It's got to be for political reasons. And they say that he's filed a grievance, but the writer here in the story says, but that's to prove collusion among all these owners is going to be tough. they don't have to talk because it's all sort of understood. That's the thrust of this article, that they don't want the president yelling at them if Eric Reid is signed. And so they would rather just sort of take a hands-off approach. And in all likelihood, this guy, John Feinstein, surmises he won't be signed. I personally still find that hard to believe because every team needs a good a free safety.
Well,
at some point.
Here's Reid talking about when Mike Pence, remember Mike Pence walked out of that game in Indianapolis?
With the information that I have, the last time he's been to a Colts game is 3 years ago. So this looks like a PR stunt to me. He knew our team has had the most players protest. He knew that we were probably going to do it again. And so this is what systemic oppression looks like.
Oh.
A man with power comes to the game, tweets a couple of things out, and leaves the game with an attempt to thwart our efforts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you think that's a little overstated?
Yeah.
By the way.
For his efforts. Yeah, you're being victimized by Mike Pence. Walker. Absolutely, it was a publicity stunt, just like it's an absolute publicity stunt when you take a knee during the national anthem. So it's one symbolism and two symbolism. You take the knee for systemic oppression.
Yeah.
Explain how that works. And then Mike Pence decides to not take a knee, but to take to 2 feet and walk out during the game. So
fair
enough. Tit for tat on that one.
Yes. And finally, Eric Reid, sort of like what Colin Kaepernick said, Eric Reid says he's not going to kneel anymore, but he says, I just feel like that time has passed, but he says, I'm not going to swear that I won't do anything else. He was brought in for one Cincinnati Bengal interview, and when he refused to promise that he would never kneel again, they just ended the interview. And so that's part of why he's bringing suit, because that shouldn't be held against you as a player.
Why, you know, in the locker room, I don't know, but I have read some things that personalities all need to sort of mix and mingle, right?
Yeah.
That you can't have somebody that's just a great big jerk that then starts to cross.
Or not more than one. I've heard that there's actually one jerk theory.
Who was the guy that was like apparently the dirtiest player, played for the Lions, and used to step on people's feet? And
Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
Yeah.
The idea is like, okay, you can have one big jerk,
right,
but you can't have somebody that's not only a jerk, but is also good at spreading the jerkness around. So then you start to divide the locker room, and you don't have people playing ping pong because you heard that that was one of the problems. You don't have that sort of sense of camaraderie. You don't need to inject somebody that is going to be politically active, and whether you agree or disagree with his point of view, you don't need it in the relationship of everybody else in the locker room, so you pass on the guys. You pass on him, you pass on Colin Kaepernick, because it's all about chemistry.
Except Kaepernick was one of the more beloved characters on that San Francisco 49er team. That's what they said, that doesn't wash. I can understand that, and that could be a justification the teams use, well, he's going to be a troublemaker, but that wasn't the word. I don't know enough about Eric Reid. He certainly sounds well-spoken, but beyond that, I don't know if he's a rabble-rouser type in the locker room, but certainly with Colin Kaepernick, the players kind of rallied around him, and they thought that it was more of a positive than a negative influence. Even Chip Kelly, who was this coach for the last year, said, I've got no problems with him. He's great. He works with the team. He's a he's a really good teammate. The only time there was any controversy wasn't with his team. It was with the fans, maybe, or the TV viewers.
Yeah, I guess it's a business, and the people that support the business are various sponsors and stuff, primarily normally run by white people that are very well off.
Yeah,
and
small group of rich, almost entirely white men, complaining about an African-American complainer.
Got it. And that's why you won't see that guy playing on the field. Oh, do you think he will get drafted?
Eric Reid?
No, I mean, picked up?
I still believe.
All right. Got
it. But John Feinstein, who knows a hell of a lot more about sports, doesn't agree with me.
Jim Harbaugh was asked a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah.
Signing with the Stars is the National Signing Day coming up, and he was asked about, hey, should players on college, so he used to coach for 49ers, and then he went and
That's
took
right.
his
he
Dockers.
Was, he was Colin Ka- He was the guy who turned Colin Kaepernick into a superstar.
Yeah, so he leaves San Francisco and takes his khakis to Michigan, and there he is at Michigan, and somebody asked him about it. Do you think players should be paid? And he said, I think they should be paid, but in such a manner that it's deferred stock, deferred compensation, he called it. He said it would be like, imagine getting, this is a quote, we get $1,000 worth of stock in Amazon, possibly for deferred compensation. That's what he told ESPN. It just, just kind of wondering if it's possible. I don't know yet. I'm just asking questions. He said, so you wouldn't get it while you're playing. But, you know, down the road, 4 years, 5 years later, you'd have this money that'd be working for you. Because everybody's making money on this. He says, I think eventually at some point it's going to come to a place where the NCAA has to address this.
I think it's, I mean, again, I have no problem with paying players. I don't think they should be getting NFL kind of salaries to go to Michigan or wherever. But I do think that they, to keep them on such a strict, limited budget, the value of a college education, I know, is considered, you know, priceless. But still, I think that for them to benefit from the, you know, to compensate, be compensated somehow for raising the millions of dollars, especially college football players.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about, you know, the swim team. I mean, this is a huge money generator. I think that I would have no problem if they, yeah, maybe didn't want to pollute their college days with too much money, but sort of give them, okay, you have a stock in it. I don't know how you'd establish that, though. A bigger star, would you get more? If you're a quarterback, would you get more at the end of 4 years than if you were a backup, you know, center?
I don't know, but let's assume, because the thing is that I invest $250,000 in my college career,
yeah,
and then I get out, and then I convert that education
to a job,
hopefully. Then to money.
Salary.
So these guys, because let's be honest, it's very difficult to be a college athlete, right?
Yeah.
So the stress and strain of traveling, practices, weight room in the morning, practice in the afternoon, the amount of hours that it takes. Do you really believe they're getting a good college education?
They're getting a good college experience,
but then convert that experience into job.
So here's my suggestion would be, I'm amazed that during football season, players still have to go to school. Still have to go to class. I would think during the season when your, you know, particular sport plays, like you'd give winter quarter off to the basketball players, you give fall quarter off. They shouldn't have to go to school at all for those 3 months while they're playing on the team. That's like their school, and then the rest of the years, you know, the year they do their classwork.
Okay,
that's the way I would compromise, because I think
that's
unbelievable that you. I mean, because that's a full time job.
It's
more than a full time job, and to also then you know, try to go to school and try to get a college education. I think that's not worth it.
That's what I saw. I asked Harbaugh that.
Yeah.
I'd read that article about him, and the reason somebody said, why'd you mention Amazon? Well, he's in a show on Amazon called All or Nothing, where they followed him for 1 year.
Oh, is that right?
And they said to him,
football coach?
Someone said, well, they're going to follow you again. So Harbaugh said, I overheard him say this, I don't like to see my face on television. I don't even like to hear my voice on television. But he's considering having Amazon follow him again for the show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How about that? Well, he's a kooky character.
But your words, not mine.
But a good coach.
Come back. Don't forget the Mariners ticket giveaway is going to be happening. Plus, also, West Sacramento launching controversial program, watching a public social media post. The problem is, if your social media posts are being put up there, who's contacting your local officials in order to get them to vote one way or the other? And can you trust the pressure that's coming? And where is it coming from? Because it might not be human, Tom. We'll be right back. Hey, let's give away some tickets to your Mariners town. That's right, 1-888-973-5476. The Detroit Tigers are coming to town with their 17-22 record. They took the Mariners out yesterday, 5-4. They'll be back on the 17th. You're going to get a chance to win tickets on the. This is my sports guy voice. Get a chance to win tickets on May 20th as the Mariners are hosting Detroit. First 10,000 moms will receive a Mariners tote. Find out more about tickets by going to mariners.com, 1-888-973-5476.
Is it like a leftover from Mom's
Day?
Yeah,
but it's called a, hold on, Tom. It's called a Second Chance Mother's Day game.
Oh, there you go.
Up,
okay.
On the 20th of March, of May. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Second Chance. All right. All righty. There's a great story. The story goes that a French prince was sitting in his giant castle, and he heard a ruckus outside. So he opened the window and he saw everybody with pitchforks and torches running in a particular direction. He turned to his assistant and says, "Find out where they are going so I may lead them there." Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I was wondering where you were going.
Hang on. You get all anxious because we're talking about a French prince.
Oh, I delight in your stories.
The idea that your elected officials need to know what you're thinking about is a concern for some people. In West Sacramento, they have spent $12,000, the city has, in order to track what is trending for the people of Sacramento. So they simply go online, and businesses do this all the time. If you were to put something up about Delta Airlines, they have a computer system that has an algorithm that tracks anytime anybody says anything positive or negative about big corporations.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think this is the first step, and it could be the wrong step, but it's the first step toward trying to make government more responsive.
Right. So they said that people were complaining about mailboxes being broken into. So this thing called Zen City searches in a particular zip codes, social media postings on Facebook, let's say.
Yes.
And they saw that a lot of people were upset. Oh, my gosh, my mailbox got broken into. Mine did as well. They went to the mayor of Sacramento and they showed them, look what everybody's talking about. The city hall had no idea that mailbox was being broken into. They said, well, so we use Zen City. We just watched people's stuff that they put up publicly, and
online.
Then we responded to it.
Yes. And the idea is that if somebody breaks into your mailbox, you're probably not going to go down to city hall.
Right.
I mean, people don't. But if there's enough of them, a string of them, that people can sort of get organized and they just post it because it's easy to post something online. They keep track of everybody's posts. And the idea is that they found out that the closure of a particular Safeway store was a much bigger deal in their city than they realize. There's a particular father did this horrible murder of two sisters, two daughters of his and all that. What allows them to do is realize what really is upsetting people in town. You may get all the, the media or the politicians focusing on one thing, and maybe it's something else entirely. And so this is their effort at trying to be more responsive as a government. Now, there is pushback, though, and that's why there's a kind of a story
ACLU.
Here. Well, an ACLU represents some people, because of the whole Cambridge Analytica stuff. You realize at first when you get Facebook, they said, Facebook, hey, it's a chance I can talk to John.
Right.
Let the, my relatives and...
Right, I can have an affair with my high school sweetheart 40 years later.
Oh, yeah. I suppose that works as well. But the idea is it was meant to bring people together, John.
Oh, yeah.
High school
literally.
Sweethearts or not. But then you realize, but what they're doing is they're collecting so much data on us that they sell data on us unbeknownst to us, and they can, do dastardly things with that information.
Because how else was Facebook going to make money just connecting people?
Yes. And so the question is there kind of a downside now about privacy? It's one thing. I think most people think, hey, that's great. If government keeps track of everything I post, then that's a way for government to know what I'm upset about.
Right.
What if government then uses that against you? In other words, I think that the concern is a kind of a privacy issue. So John mentioned this and John mentioned that and John mentioned this. Maybe there's something untoward that John's doing that we don't really approve of. Maybe he met with a socialist and he doesn't want anybody to know that. And why is he meeting with a socialist when he's this way? Is there a chance that there could be something that looks a little shady in your doings that the government could then launch with that information, launch some kind of, negative response?
Right. So, let's say you're a nonprofit and you're applying for nonprofit status. Then you find out the government is taking your applications and giving it a third or fourth look, or delaying it entirely, i.e. the IRS and Lois Lerner, which the anniversary of that is coming up. So here was the federal government, the division of the government, slowing down conservative organizations so that they could not have as much sway in the political campaign. So that is a true concern that the government would be involved. But
yes.
Sacramento's government would not be involved. Concerned if I was involved with socialists, they would actually encourage that. They may be concerned if you're involved with conservatives, if we saw demonstrated through the Obama administration. So there is concern, but the problem with this is most of these postings are already public. So that
they're all public. Yeah, you're
so
putting yourself out there.
Right.
Yes.
So does the government then notice that you're posting a lot and you're an angry guy and you're doing a lot of posting?
Do they
then come after you?
Yes. I think that, and right now, I mean, I suppose it could get in the wrong hands, but right now I think this is a way for West Sacramento to be more, receptive to objections. I don't know if this would have anything. Imagine this in Seattle. Do you think that the city council doesn't know that homelessness is a problem? I don't know what kind of issues it would percolate to the surface that we don't already know about in terms of our coverage, but this is the kind of stuff.
Well,
I think it's a good outreach.
It is. It doesn't make its way to, for instance, a friend of mine lives over in Ballard, and they wanted to send this to the show because they listen to the show.
Yeah.
And it was a little letter that goes on for a three block. They've got a little neighborhood block watch. It takes up three blocks.
Okay.
And it went, my car was broken into, someone else's car was broken into. Just want to warn everybody, on these streets, on 23rd to 85th or somewhere in there, we're having a lot of our cars being broken in because, people have parked on the streets in Ballard. So that little community is aware of it. Now, if they were to have Zen City, the city would then say, oh, look at this. We're having a string of break-ins. Because most people, when you go to call the cops, there's a lot of yawning and kicking dust because they're not going to send a cop car over to go look at
it's
the
fact that it's not a high priority.
No, it's not a high priority. Right. And does the city start to realize, hey, we might want to send some cars over there to prowl those neighborhoods because we have a lot of homeless folks that are doing drugs and stealing from people that are sleeping in those neighborhoods?
Well, because the city council changed the way it was their members were elected, the idea is that you have now representatives from that particular neighborhood, and that's a way to kind of keep track of things. But this would be another, sort of another eye. It did, as you were describing it, though, it did remind me a bit of Nextdoor.com, which I've mentioned my reservation.
That you're part of.
Yeah. They're not Nazis, but it does. It's suddenly like, anybody
who's specifically Nazis, air quote Nazis.
Yes, but not even that. But it does. Anybody who's suspicious, hey, well, I don't recognize that guy in the neighborhood. What's he doing there walking down the street?
Hey, this is a little from left field, but I just heard Todd Herman tell the story. And I think if this goes further, we should have him on. I know you're not a huge fan.
What?
Hang on. He intentionally got a parking ticket. Then they sent him a thing, hey, pay. Yeah, please pay. Then they sent him another one, you got to pay or we're going to do collection on you. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, no, I did. He talks a lot in the newsroom about that. He's quite proud of himself.
So he's got the parking ticket, and then he wrote to them and saying, oh, no, when I got that parking ticket, I was homeless and I was living in my car. So he wants to see what the next step will be.
Yeah.
Are you curious to see what the city does next?
I mean, Todd's a funny guy, and he's got all these political stunts.
He's a glad fly.
A point, yeah, gadfly.
Gadfly,
So I'm not that interested.
Because it's a political stunt?
To me,
when Dory set up his S shack out front, we covered that.
Yeah, come on. They're all just stunts. As long as we realize that political stunts, they're funny, but.
It's not a stunt. You're gonna actually see the hypocrisy in action.
He's not homeless, though, so he's lying.
He was homeless at the time. He had no home. He had his car.
I don't believe any of his stories, just like I don't believe any of yours.
What do you determine homeless then? If you slept in your car for 3 days. Knowing him, he probably changed his address or something like that.
He's done all sorts of rackets with his license plates and stuff, right? Doesn't he? He's always talking about something.
When he starts collecting his own urine again, I know we're in trouble. We'll be right back with your letters. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 989-973. Back to my sports guy, boys. Hey, congratulations to Steve from Tacoma coming in as our winner. Enjoy the Mariners taking on the Detroit Tigers on the 20th of May.
Good for Steve.
Yes, Doug's Linwood Mazda. Thanks, Doug Linwood Mazda. Thank you, Mike. Mike Owens, Doug Linwood Mazda, Tom. Good guy. You'd like him a lot.
Cool.
I turned him on to Union Gospel Mission. I think he took his son on a search and rescue down there. He is a good guy. Good, really good man. Good father and a good businessman. And thanks so much for realizing that this is the place you want to spend your money advertising. Doug Linwood Mazda helping with the Tom McCurley Show when it comes to the letters. Here comes the mailman now. Oh, here comes. Oh, look at the mailman. He looks happy. Hey, mailman.
I'm the mailman.
Yes.
As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to you.
Yeah. Don't forget, the president says.
Take it nice and easy.
Yeah, take it nice and easy. Hey, teeny tiny lady, are you there in a pickle jar? Did you guys say hi to her on Friday?
Yeah, I think we,
Hello to you, too. She always sounds so excited. Yeah. Okay, she's going to tell us about the letter of the day, but let's get started. Ooh, there's a whole bunch of them. Look at this. Wow, mailman.
Head tax.
Uh-huh.
For housing, 253 says, our priorities are all screwed up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal to build housing, apartments, in 90% of the city, but it's just fine to put up a stolen tent in 100% of the city.
John, you frequently have facts to back up your perspective. Tom never does. I admire you for trying to get through the wall, but it is futile, my friend. We're not going to die. Andrew. Andrew, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Carnation.
Yes.
Curly is right.
Boom.
People are basically lazy.
Darn right.
Just like John.
Oh,
I 253. No, Carnation. People are basically lazy or will be as lazy as they can get away
yes.
with.
Yes.
I know I am lazy, and sure. if I was not, I would be really successful. We got to hear from Carnation more. I like this guy. I could write a book, write an app for my iPhone, Android, etc. I could learn how to play an instrument and write songs and jingles and sell them. So many things I could do.
Tom, the fact that people drive around a parking lot to get a spot closest to the door is a perfect example that people are basically lazy. John, there are many people in tents who have jobs and just can't afford a home or are discriminated against for one reason or another.
That part's true, too. 206, I think Tom is confusing the concept of working with having a job.
Uh-huh.
Yes, people do find a sense of self through working. However, I would argue that no one, if given the opportunity, would have a job. It is one thing to work on a project or a concept or an effort. Yes, people identify with their work. However, a job is a very different thing.
Work is so bad, they have to pay you to go. 206, here is why the city council...
What? If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you got a job. There's plenty of people out there who get a job. Here's why the city council came to the compromise, which you reported could be an 8-1 vote. They all came to their senses and realized that they were allowing one person on the council to drive their policy, and that is ridiculous, to have one socialist to be able to write effectively all the city council policies. All right?
Except that one socialist wasn't none too happy with the proposal. She wanted double.
She wanted more.
This is on the effect of where you live on your happiness. 206, my wife and I are packing up and moving June 1st. We got taxed out.
Yes.
Goodbye, Seattle. I have a feeling we're going to be much, much happier.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Kari, not Carrie, in Sumner. Among all the characters of your story, your dad is my absolute favorite. I was sorry when he died, and there was no new stories of him. That's true. Thanks for sharing the memory, and he refused to move on to a better job for the sake of his family. I usually enjoy anecdotes that highlight his callousness and family style, but today you gave him balance as a truly sweet man. You have a lot in common with him, and that's a compliment.
That's hilarious, because I was the same place Kari was. I go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a dad.
No, he, I think it really, really bothered him. I really thought it would have an effect upon him,
On the idea of paying college athletes?
Mm-hmm.
College athletes are paid. Their tuition and living expenses are all paid.
Mm-hmm.
The good athletes in some sports get exposure that is necessary to go pro for.
Yeah, what, 1%?
Yeah, maybe.
A family member was a fairly recent player for the Huskies, 4 years, 5 years, if you count the RS year. Okay, redshirt year. It's extremely difficult for these players to do both, especially at those levels of academics and playing D1 ball. Should they get rich? No. Should they get more? Hell yes. Another thing to consider after suffering an injury, when a career-ending injury that was just serious lifelong consequences, there is zero help medically once you're out of the program.
Wow.
Nothing. Just think about that. Let that sink in.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, buy insurance policies for all the players if they get injured while playing.
Mm-hmm.
On the Como chopper crash story, you might want to check this, but I'm pretty sure the Bell helicopter has a main rotor that rotates clockwise, whereas the A-Star helicopter has a main rotor that rotates counterclockwise, which in turn changes many principles of the dynamics of flight. And the control input required to maintain stability in the event of a power failure in a Bell helicopter, the pilot's conditioned response would be to press the right pedal, whereas in the A-Star, you would have to press the left pedal. Wow.
Gee whiz. Okay. First of all, thanks for the letter, and also thank you for thinking that we're going to do that type of research on our own. Okay, 425, noise pollution is a serious issue at times. When Tom is talking, I have to turn the radio off to protect my ears. Thank you, 425.
Is it my volume or what I'm saying?
A little bit of both.
Yes.
On the vice principal rapping about guns, Bryce wrote in, wow, guys, that teacher, by the way, he's not a teacher, he's a vice principal, but still, that teacher is an idiot and a horrible wannabe rapper. He should be fired from his job and doesn't belong around children. Oh, by the way, Bruce texted this in before he heard the Logic Amen's explanation, which, we both thought was pretty sophisticated.
Someone says, great song, and his reasoning makes sense, 206.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, wow. So soon? Teeny tiny lady? Really? Really? So soon?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
She watches everything, Tom. Here we go.
425. If we want to fix our affordable housing problem, this is about the effect of where you live on happiness. Maybe Seattle should spend a bunch of money on a marketing campaign in cities across the country. Kind of like those Visit Montana billboards we see everywhere. Except the ads would say, don't move here. It won't make you happy.
Out of time. Bye-bye.